Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Hello, my name is Seth Moore. I'm with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. I'm an environmental specialist in the Land and Waters Bureau, and today we're just going to talk a little bit about Iowa's endangered bumblebee. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has recently listed the rusty-patched bumblebee, scientific name Bombus affinis, on the endangered species list. This bumblebee was once widespread in about 31 states. It's only found in 9 states right now. The decline started around 1990s. And just want to get a grip of where they're at and to help the populations boost back up.
This is a way that you, the listener, can get involved.
Exactly. You,
the DNR is hoping that citizens will see this bee and let you know.
Yeah. This is kind of a citizen science project. We're asking people to get out there, and if in your yards, your fields, your pastures, wherever you have blooming flowers, if you can find it, let us know. We are trying to get a hold on where it's at, the distribution of that bee in our state.
Is this bumblebee the kind of bumblebee we're used to thinking of, the big bee that kind of buzzes?
It is. This one is special as it has a rusty patch on the back. And so on the back, there's yellow and then a rusty patch line and then another yellow line basically underneath that. That's kind of the distinguishing markers of that species.
And it's big.
It is. It's a larger bee.
And it kind of hums?
Yes. You'll hear that when it's flying past you or in your flowers.
Most bumblebees are relatively docile. Is
yes.
this a docile bee?
It is. Most of the time, bees are just trying to get their groceries. They're foraging on flowers, looking for nectar and pollen for their nests.
Rusty patch bumblebee. Bombus affinis?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're native to Iowa.
Yes, they are. Uh-huh. Originally, they were kind of a common bee, really, but now in Iowa, they're restricted to certain counties. So Blackhawk, Clayton, Johnson, Allamakee, Jackson, and Winnesheek are their main counties that we've found them recently. Now, just this year, since we are actually doing surveys to look for them this year and next year, we've actually found 2 in Boone County and in Linn County.
Not in Story County yet.
I'm looking right now, but I haven't found any yet.
Mm-hmm. You're on the lookout to find out if they're in other counties as well?
Yes, we are. This time of year is a pretty good time, and I encourage people in your yards, if you've got any kind of flowers at all, look to see if you can find it. On our Facebook page, and we've had some press releases about what the bee kind of looks like, but you can also contact me, and you can send me any pictures you have, and we can take a look and see what you have. Another great way is bumblebeewatch.org. That's a website. You can create a free account. You can upload any pictures of bumblebees, and there's experts on that website that will identify them for you. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service tracks that website, so if a rusty patch does come up, they can grab it and catch it. And
you'll find out about it?
Yep, and we'll find out about it as well, since we're working together on that kind of a joint project.
Why are they disappearing, and why are they coming back?
That's a great question. We think there's a lot of contributing factors, so loss of habitat. There's a lot more row crops, so that's not providing as much flowering resources for those bees. Not a lot of undisturbed ground for them to nest in. And we still have that in the road ditches and things like that they can use. But pesticide use, a lot of widespread pesticide use. And then disease and parasites can be a problem. The common eastern bumblebee has been used to pollinate tomatoes. And that bee has actually become more widespread across the country because so many people use them to pollinate, and they kind of escape the greenhouse. And sometimes they can be disease carriers, and they can get out and transfer different diseases and parasites to the bee. And we think that might be a contributing factor as well.
Why is this important?
Well, as the Iowa DNR, we're always wanting to make sure we're managing the natural resources of the state wisely and being a good steward of what we have. And the pollinators in general, and then bumblebees specifically, are a great contributor. The services they provide for pollination, for crops, for native plants is tremendous. Bees are really kind of the workhorse of the pollinator world. The only other insect that really can compare with them would be flies, and flies don't do it in a way that bees do. Bees will go to the same flowers a lot, so that provides that pollination service for those flowers. Flies just kind of go wherever they want, but they have hairy bodies like bees. Bumblebees in particular have a lot of hair on their bodies. They can collect a lot of pollen, and they can forage earlier in the day and later in the day than a lot of pollinators do. Most pollinators like butterflies or beetles or flies have a restricted time frame during the day which they're visiting those plants. But bees will do it almost all day long. Even when it's kind of chillier and other insects can't fly because of the temperature, bumblebees are active during those times. They can warm their bodies and they can contract their muscles in their body and generate heat, which allows them to fly.
So they're important.
They are, yep, mm-hmm. Very important for crops, native plants. They do the lion's share of the pollinating. So making sure that we have them, have enough of them, and are keeping the ones we have here. And then, you know, it's an interest of me mm-hmm. personally, too, working with specifically bees.
Why do you like bees?
I've always looked for things that maybe don't get a lot of attention, and that's just one that kind of caught my eye, and I've just been drawn to it. So I'm looking forward to learning more about them and don't know nearly enough.
So. Now, bumblebees don't make honey.
Right, that's right. Honeybees are the only ones that make honey. Bumblebees collect nectar for their young and pollen. Nectar is mostly going to contain the energy, so carbohydrates and sometimes amino acids, and then the pollen is more of the protein. That's why they want those things. Bumblebees are different than honeybees. Honeybees have a colony year-round, usually have 10,000-plus bees in that hive or colony. A bumblebee basically will have 500 to 1,000 individuals, and then at the end of the year when new queens are raised, everything else dies except queens over winter, and then those queens in the spring, when they wake up and look for nest sites, which is usually an underground rodent burrow or mammal burrow. That's what they look for.
So they want to live in the ground.
Right. Their nest is in the ground. They don't nest above ground majority of the time. So they're kind of out of the way. It's hard to find their nests. If you see them, they're usually going to be on flowers looking for nectar and pollen to provide for their young in their colony.
The queen, how does she reproduce if she's alone?
In the fall, whenever the colony produces new queens, they also produce males or drones. And then those drones and the new queens mate, and then the females will overwinter, and then in the spring they'll start to make their nest, and then they start to lay eggs. They don't lay eggs until in the spring.
So the queen gets essentially fertilized in fall?
Yep, that's right.
And then she goes and she goes to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and then she finds a nest somewhere in the ground, and then she lays a bunch of eggs.
Yep, exactly. And then she raises those eggs. She's the sole provider for those eggs until they mature and become workers.
And how does she provide for them?
So she's looking for plants that are offering pollen and nectar. Some of the best plants you can use are native plants. So native plants would be anything that was here in the continental U.S., before European settlement. Wild bergamot is a really good one. They love that. It's actually called bee balm, another common name for it. Another one would be white wild indigo, culver's root, butterfly milkweed. A lot of the milkweeds, great for bees.
What about coneflower or black-eyed Susan?
Yes, those will work as well.
But those don't bloom in spring, right?
Right, exactly.
So she needs spring flowers.
Yep, if you can get as many spring flowers, that's hard to find sometimes with native plants, with suppliers, seed, or finding live plugs. But we do have lists of wild geranium, Virginia waterleaf, anemones, wood betony. There's several there for the spring. They will use non-native species, those like clovers and things like that, too. They're just going to try to find anything they can to eat in the spring because it is kind of bare in the spring. A lot of times they'll go to the woodlands. Woodlands have a lot of wildflowers in the spring when there's nothing else in the open fields.
One more question about the reproductive cycle.
Mm-hmm.
When she lays her eggs, the babies, are they all male?
In the spring and until probably mid-summer, they're all female. And then once we get into the late summer, early fall, she'll start producing males and then eventually the queens, the new queens.
Oh, so it's three different types of babies she has.
Yes, yep.
What do the females do?
The females that are produced the majority of the year, those are the workers. They do all the work collecting pollen and nectar for the new males, queens, or workers.
To feed the other babies.
Right, exactly. Yep, they all work together. And the queens mostly, once she has enough workers raised, she stays in the nest for the most part.
What's she doing down there?
She's mostly just laying eggs.
And then later in the summer, the males are born.
Yes, yep, the males are born.
And what's their job?
They are just there for reproductive purposes mostly. They leave the nest and then they never really come back. They'll set up kind of a territory for themselves and defend their territory, and they'll look for new queens to mate with. And then at the end of the year, they die. Queen from the spring, she dies at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. Well, every spring, a colony of bumblebees would come and make holes in the wood fence behind our house.
Those are actually probably carpenter bees, carpenter bees aren't a bumblebee, but they look almost exactly like a bumblebee.
Okay.
How you can tell the difference is they bore in wood,
yeah,
like that, make their nest into wood, and their abdomen is very shiny, and it's not as hairy. Other parts of their body are hairy, except for that. It's very black and shiny. And the ones that get in front of your face are males or drones. They're kind of protecting their territory. And males cannot sting, so you don't really need to be afraid of them.
It comes off very cute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're an interesting bee, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to your bee, Rusty Patch Bumblebee.
Yes.
What can I do to see a bumblebee?
Any space you have, if you plant seeds or live plugs of native plants. You want something blooming all year round from spring until fall. And that's providing them those resources they need for their young and to reproduce and to thrive and survive. Another thing, provide a safe place for them to build their nests. This could be an area of your yard that's unmowed or just a place where there's no ground disturbance at all. They're kind of a generalist. They'll go wherever they can hibernate. I say that lightly because it's an insect. Just letting a little patch of your yard grow up, flower beds or compost piles, things like that. Those are great places for them to nest. They like sandy soil, loose soil too, for their overwintering spots. They can burrow into the ground a little bit and just overwinter there. Compost piles are really good for that. Having that loose soil for them to go into, and sometimes they do overwinter in woodlands under the leaves. And then another thing you can provide is just a pesticide-free area for them. Careful application of pesticides, especially insecticides, which are particularly harmful to those bees. Read your labels on your pesticides that you apply and make sure you follow all the label instructions. And if you can do pesticide-free as much as possible, that's great. You want flowers from spring until fall. Plant, maintain those flowers. Safe place for them to build their nest. Undisturbed ground, compost piles. Then if you can make your property as pesticide-free as possible.
And then going out to look for them, you're just basically keeping an eye on the flowers?
Yeah, if you're interested in looking for them and taking pictures, going to any kind of public county conservation board, Iowa DNR, state park, Army Corps of Engineers, whatever the case might be, any of those places that have wildflowers out there, that kind of a wild area, when there's not a lot of wind, it's bright and sunny, those are the best days to find them out foraging.
And they don't really care what time of day?
I would focus from 9 to 3, which is when you're going to see the most activity.
And how do you know that it's a rusty patch bumblebee? How are you going to recognize it?
Sure, yep. So a bee has a head, a thorax, and an abdomen from top to bottom. And the abdomen is the last segment. That's where the stinger would be. So on the abdomen, the back of the bee, you're going to look for the yellow rusty patch or that brownish color, and then another yellow band below that.
On the back of the bee.
So
you don't have to like turn it over to look at it.
Nope, you should be able to see it from just looking at the flowers. If you have some binoculars or if you just take some pictures real fast, and then you can look at the pictures.
Say again what the colors are.
So it's yellow, rusty, yellow.
Yellow, brown, yellow.
Yep, yellow, brown, yellow. There are some bees that have a yellow and then a brown. Those are brown-belted bumblebees, very common bee. So just look for that yellow below the brown, and that's usually what's going to tell you it's a rusty patch bumblebee.
And it's a big one.
Yep, it's a bigger bee. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell whether you're looking at a queen, a drone, or a male? Or what do you call it?
A male drone, yep. A female, there's workers, drones, and then queens, or genes, okay. Before they lay eggs, they're called genes. But yep.
Genes. So how do you know which one you're looking at?
It's a little bit hard to tell, but typically queens are a lot bigger than everything else. The workers are smaller. If you search on the web, you can find the pictures there to know the differences. Drones typically will not have a pollen-carrying basket corbicula on the back of their hind leg, but that's harder to see. But what I look for is big eyes. Males usually have a lot bigger eyes than females. They don't have a stinger, and they will sometimes have a yellow buffy hair on their head. They'll fly around a little bit more usually and defending their territories.
Probably not a good idea to put in a jar though, right? They probably don't like that.
Right. I wouldn't recommend that unless you have a scientific collecting permit or some type of permit from the Iowa DNR to do that.
Now, I have a garden, and I've noticed this bee comes out of the ground. Is there a chance that that would be it, or are there other types of bumblebees that come out of the ground?
Sure. It could be a bumblebee, or it could be another type of bee. There's many species. In Iowa, there's 5 to 10 species of bumblebee, but there's around 400 different species of bee in Iowa alone.
Other types of bees live in the ground as well?
Yep. Actually, most bees nest underground. About a third will nest in hollow stems, wood, things with hollow cavities. So, yeah, if you see something in a garden like that, send pictures in. We're happy to identify anything we can. We like to see people getting out and become curious of the resources of the state.
So if you see a big fat bee, it's not necessarily a bumblebee. It can be other type, too.
It can be. And a lot of times bumblebees are hairy. If it's not hairy, it's probably not a bumblebee.
So, okay, take a picture.
Yep.
And tell us again, what is the best way to contact you to tell us you've seen the rusty patch bumblebee?
You can send your picture, comments, questions to me, Seth Moore. My phone number is 515-725-8464, 515-725-8464, or by email at seth.moore, M-O-O-R-E, at dnr.iowa.gov, or you can go to bumblebeewatch.org and create an account there and upload your photos, and there'll be people watching that website for it.
Seth, you work in Des Moines.
I do.
But you live in Story County?
I do, yes.
So you're keeping your eye out in Story County for a bumblebee?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure am. Hopefully we'll find it soon.
Well, if you do, will you break it on KHOI?
Well, yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Seth. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on and just talk about rusty patch bumblebee and other bees in general. So thank you.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.